Now, it's Halloween, so I got to tell a ghost story. Now, my choice is, do I finish the exorcism in Connecticut? The Raggedy Doll?
Yeah.
John Wesley's Poltergeist? You want to stay all night?
Yeah.
Man, we got a demon that talks Chinese. Remember, we got on that last night. Come think of it, they can just about talk every language. So talking in tongues is not the unique province of the Pentecostals. Now, I believe that their experience, the Pentecostal experience, is real. Don't misunderstand me. Glossolalia is real. And I furthermore believe that if you act in faith and ask God for something, you will get bread and not a stone, and fish and not a serpent. Therefore, you don't ever have to worry, but what you will receive when you're asking God for it in faith will come from God. He has that much power to make sure that Satan doesn't answer a proper prayer with a Satan response. But the experience does not per se prove that it's God to the outside onlooker, because Satan's been the imitator of godly things for years. He's an imitator. And in China, when I started reading that demonology, they found a lot of them in the churches. Demons like to go to church. Which is why you should never volunteer as a pastor unless God calls you. I'm going to tell you something. I do not think a pastor can be effective without the gift of discernment working through him. It doesn't work, you know, if you don't walk in the Spirit. All expressions of the Spirit wane. But now I'm very serious. I was humorous in my earlier remarks. Demons love to go to church. You read in the book of Acts, that little old girl following Paul around, everything she said was the right thing. He discerned, in spite of what was being said, evil spirits to be cast out. This is an interesting subject. Some people have asked me, why did those demons talk back to those people that tried to exorcise them? And they said, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who in the hell are you? They didn't quite say it like that. They said, who are you? They wouldn't talk that way because they would want to try to sound traditionally holy. You see, it's not enough to just go through the formula. You can't steal God's formulas and use Jesus' name just as a witch's shibboleth. It's got to be an act of faith. These people said the right things. That'd be one, wouldn't it? Demon said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, who are you? Be gone in Jesus' name. Who are you? And you read those things all through the Bible. And people read the Bible through and go right by them. They don't believe they happen. You cannot read the Old and New Testament and not confront the fact that presupposed in that book of Revelation is a surrounding kingdom of invisible forces, Satan's kingdom versus God's kingdom, and we're caught between. The reason I've been reading all of these things is to prove up the evidence in a very modern, rationalistic, skeptical world that if you look around, the Bible was right all along. That's why I'm reading these stories. And you want me to finish them all tonight? You got a deal. You got a deal. The Epworth poltergeist. Some people would never believe that this happened in the house of John Wesley, his father's house, Reverend Samuel Wesley. The Wesley family first started telling their son Samuel about it. This record in the Encyclopedia of Witchcraft and Demonology puts together from their original words out of letters, sources that 75 years after the death of John Wesley were published by Joseph Priestley in original letters by the Reverend John Wesley and his friends. From that source and others, a brief summation of the famous Epworth poltergeist, the happening, a ghost that causes uproar is a poltergeist from the two German words. Uproaring ghost. About as close as you can come in English. Polter, uproar, and geist, ghost. I had read so far along, I'd like to kind of move on. They begin to hear knockings and tappings and scratchings. The father didn't believe it, the father of John, Reverend Samuel Wesley. About 21 days into the happenings, he encountered it. Three knocks on his bedstand. By several days into it, they invited the vicar out. Latter into the night that Mr. Hooley sat up on, the vicar came and sat up in the house. Susanna says, I lay in the nursery where it was very violent. I then heard frequent knocks over and under the room where I lay and at the children's bedhead, which was made of boards. It seemed to rap against it very hard and loud so that the bed shook under them. I heard something walk by my bedside like a man in a long nightgown. The knocks were so loud that Mr. Hooley, the vicar, came out of their chamber to us. Mr. Hooley, the vicar. As soon as we were in the kitchen, the sound was above us in the room we had left. Now, this is the third night I'm reading this, so we're well into the story. All the members, including John Wesley himself, take part in this discussion, experienced and heard these poltergeist events. The father, Reverend Samuel, didn't believe it, blamed the kids for pulling tricks until it happened when he experienced it. Now the vicar himself is there and experiencing it. Mr. Hooley, the vicar, as soon as we were in the kitchen, the sound was above us in the room we had left. We returned up the narrow stairs and heard at the broad stairs head someone slurring, that is, dragging with their feet. All the family now being in bed beside us. And then trailing, as it were, and rustling with a silk nightgown. Quickly, it was in the nursery at the bed's head, knocking as it had done at first, three by three. Mrs. Wesley, we persuaded your father to speak and try if any voice would be heard. One night about 6 o'clock, he went into the nursery in the dark and at first heard several. That's where we were. At first heard several deep groans, then knocking. He adjured it to speak if it had power and tell him why it troubled his house, but no voice was heard. But it knocked thrice aloud. Mr. Wesley, Wednesday night, December 26th, I went upstairs and found it still knocking. Heard. Though with some respite, sometimes under the bed, sometimes at the bed's head. I observed my children that they were fighting in their sleep and trembled very much till it waked them. I stayed there alone, bid them go to sleep, and sat at the bed's feet by them when the noise began again. I asked it what it was and why it disturbed innocent children and didn't come to me in my study if it had anything to say to me. Soon after, it gave one knock on the outside of the house. All the rest were within and knocked off for that night. Mrs. Wesley. I'm just reading poor old Samuel, John Wesley's father. Mrs. Wesley. Thus it continued till the 28th of December, when it loudly knocked in the nursery and departed. Samuel, to whom they were telling the story, the brother of John, says, I cannot think any of you very superstitious. Emily, I'm so far from being superstitious that I was too much inclined to infidelity, so that I heartily rejoice at having such an opportunity of convincing myself past doubt or scruple of the existence of some beings besides those that we see. Made a believer out of Emily. Samuel, was there never a new maid or a man in the house that might be playing tricks? Was there nobody above the garrets when the walking was there? The brother still doesn't believe. Now, we're leaving Fayetteville. I could give him some music or keep reading and hope I get a little more of this story in. I'm going to keep reading. Samuel, I want to know whether nothing was ever seen by any. Emily, something was thrice seen. Three times something was seen. Three times something was seen. The first time by my mother, under my sister's bed. This is John Wesley's household. Is there any protection for non-believers in Christ against demonic forces? Well, yeah, they were exercising demons with the old Jewish formula when Jesus was walking around. Now, by non-believers, I mean, I draw a distinction between those that haven't made their mind up yet and those that have rejected. I think that you won't hear very many Christian pastors say that. But John the Baptist had some doubts. Jesus said to him, blessed are they that are not offended in me. I draw a distinction between those that are still studying the question, have made their mind up about Christ, and those that have rejected him. I don't really know what your position is going to be with demons if you've rejected Christ, because he's the one that took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and the fear away from them. But you do know that I have great respect for people that are still agnostic and searching. And no matter what anybody says, when Jesus said to Thomas, it's more blessed to believe without seeing, he still offered to submit to the test. And there were exorcists casting out demons in Jesus' day and subsequent to his resurrection among the Jews using the ancient Jewish formulas. So, yeah, there are protections, I think. I just think you're awful safe in Christ. And I think Thomas is living proof. You can follow him with your doubts. That's what I quarrel with in the church. Jesus didn't tell Thomas to get rid of all of his doubts. Just said, follow me. Took him with his doubts. And sometimes you think you got to solve every agnostic question. Give Christ the attention with your doubts, and he's not offended at the tests, and there's really only one simple place to start with Christianity. Not with rules and regulations, not with any of those things. The resurrection. I said to my professors when I was in university, that I respected one of them very much. I said, you live a life that denies the claims of Christ openly and knowingly, and yet when I ask you four or five questions, you haven't spent 15 hard hours in study in your life on the evidences of the resurrection. I mean, the very least you could do is get my 6 volumes, Jesus Christ, Supernatural, Supernatural. Skip the first chapter in each one of them. Read the second chapter. So you cut the reading time in half. Leaching starts there. Frank Morrison's Who Moved the Stones, little bitty booklet. C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity. Intelligent people have confronted Christ, and it's changed their lives. And I'm not an evangelist. I don't want to change anybody or save anybody. But I think that the record of the kind of people that, upon looking, have been changed, at least it deserves the look. And God will take you, Christ will take you with your doubts, and submit to that test. My authority is Paul. He says, if Christ be not risen, our faith is vain. And I grew up in the church, and they pointed me to everything else except that fundamental issue. Did Christ raise? That's a historic fact. You have a psychological reaction to the evidence when you're exposed. The problem is, it's like this demonology subject and the Philadelphia experience. Part of the reason I went on that is it's so blame disbelievable. You're almost embarrassed to talk to anybody about it. But the more you get close to the facts, the more you get convinced something happened. And if what they say happened didn't happen, something's a blame strange happened that at least deserves a look. Whereas the starting point of most people on these things is it couldn't happen, therefore it didn't happen. Therefore I won't look. There's more faith and honest doubt than the faith that populates most pews. And God's not scared of your questions. You will never ask a question that surprises Him. The confusion of Christianity is we start with everything else. Never come to grips with that issue. Now, don't you think it's an issue? If Christ rose, so what? Well, then the church is right. His other claims are right. It's worth a look. Intelligent people at least ought to look at it. That answers. That all came from a simple question. Is there any protection for a non-believer against demons? My Lord, you mean I've made people believe in demons that don't believe in Christ? I've been more successful promoting the devil than I have Jesus? Do you have any idea what that does to me? Right now. Right now, John Wesley's story. Now, it's John Wesley's father, Reverend Samuel Wesley's house, that have a poltergeist knocking on the walls, knocking on the bedstands, moving up and down stairs, dragging his feet. They're telling Samuel about it. John gets in on the act. The sisters get in on the act. The maids get in on the act. The mama gets in on the act. The dad, the old reverend, doesn't believe it until the knocks are on his bedstand. Then they bring the vicar out. Now, the vicar, Mr. Hooley, I mean, they all gather on one bed together. That ain't shunning the appearance of evil, but when a poltergeist in the house, it's a matter of relativity. Now, the vicar, he sees it too. Finally, after all the knocking and the banging and the sounds and the scares, Samuel says, I want to know whether nothing was ever seen by any. I don't vouch for Samuel's English. Emily, something was thrice seen. The first time by my mother. Oh, Dallas and Arlington called and said, you left off with us, with him going to the nursery. Mr. Wesley, yeah, I better back up for them. We persuaded your father to speak and try if any voice would be heard. One night about 6 o'clock, he went into the nursery. This is where I left off with Dallas, Fort Worth. They're entitled to be caught up. One night about 6 o'clock, he went into the nursery in the dark and at first heard several deep groans, then knocking. Went right by it. Nobody paid any attention. Several deep groans and then knocking. That's what I said. Just perjectly what I said. That's what I said. Calls for warming the place up. Turn the lights off. Warm this place up a little bit. That's what I said. I mean, you know, I have a pipe to keep me company. As I was saying earlier, I scared myself so bad this Halloween and went out and bought another dog. That's right. He won a Schutzen 3 rating 26 times. And last year won the tracking degree. That's part of Schutzen, but he won it by itself in advanced tracking. When the ghost come around here tonight, we got him. Get a Schutzen on him. Now, you want me to finish? One night about 6 o'clock, Mrs. Wesley says, he went into the nursery in the dark. And at first heard several deep groans. Then knocking. Has anybody told you that poltergeists don't like to be mocked? You can get away with it with a kind-hearted pastor like me. But poltergeists don't like to be mocked. Now, they ain't coming in here where I am. They've been known to wait in the car for people that mock him. They especially like Fords and Pentos. And Cadillacs. Oldsmobiles and Chryslers. Volkswagens, Mercedes, Toyotas, Datsuns and Nissans. Rolls Royces and motorbikes. They like things that move. At first, he heard several deep groans. Then knocking. Keep it up. I want you to. I mean, you know. That means I'll drive home safely. They'll all be waiting in your cars. He adjured it to speak if it had power and tell him why it troubled his house. But no voice was heard. But it knocked thrice aloud. You ain't doing it right. Thrice. Mr. Wesley, Wednesday night, December 26th, I went upstairs and found it still knocking. Heard, though with some respite, sometimes under the bed. Sometimes at the bed's head. I observed my children that they were frightened in their sleep. Why don't you answer the phones? And trembled very much till it waked them. I stayed there alone. What was that? You suppose that's real? I stayed there alone. Bid them go to sleep and sat at the bed's feet by them. When the noise began again, I asked it what it was and why it disturbed innocent children. It did not come to me in my study if it had anything to say to me. Soon after, it gave one knock on the outside of the house. All the rest were within and knocked off for that night. Mrs. Wesley, thus it continued till the 28th of December, when it loudly knocked in the nursery and departed. Samuel, I can't think any of you very superstitious. Emily, I'm so far from being superstitious that I was too much inclined to infidelity. That means disbelieving. What is said? So that I heartily rejoice at having such an opportunity of convincing myself past doubt or scruple of the existence of some beings besides those that we see. It made a believer out of her. Samuel, was there never a new maid or man in the house that might play tricks? We got them in here. Was there nobody above the garrets when the walking was there? going for it now. Emily. A whole month was sufficient to convince anybody of the reality of the thing. A whole month. And to try all ways of discovering any trick, had it been possible for any such to have been used. Now the vicar saw it, heard it, I mean. The father, John, the maids, the sisters, and the missus. Samuel, I want to know whether nothing was ever seen by any. Emily, something was thrice seen. The first time by my mother, under my sister's bed. That's where we were. That's where we were. 2 hours ago. I mean, when I get under the bed, no sense hurrying. I mean, this poor preacher ain't under, been under a bed so long. I ain't going to hurry a good thing when I've found it. Something was thrice seen. The first time by my mother under my sister's bed. Now what we want to find out is what was under that there bed. Emily, I'm so far from being superstitious that I was too much inclined to infidelity, so that I hardly rejoice at having such an opportunity of convincing myself past doubt or scruple of the existence of some beings besides those that we see. Samuel, was there never a new maid or a man in the house that might play tricks? Was there nobody above in the garret when the walking was there? Emily, a whole month was sufficient to convince anybody of the reality of the thing, and to try all ways of discovering any trick, had it been possible for any such to have been used. Samuel, I want to know whether nothing was ever seen by any. See, plenty of people had seen nothing. Emily, something was thrice seen. Seen. The first time by my mother under my sister's bed. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
Something was thrice seen. First time by my mother under my sister's bed, like a badger. To turn that blower off, I'd blow some smoke rings. Something was thrice seen. The first time by my mother. I'm still remembering that thing over there. It's got me affrighted. Something was seen by us over there. Something was thrice seen. Can't do it. It's got too much of a blower here. Something was thrice seen. The first time by my mother, under my sister's bed, like a badger. You ever seen a badger under a bed? How would you like to sleep with a badger? You ever seen a badger? They're frightful creatures. Now, I ain't ever seen one under a bed. If I were in that bed, I'd leave. Something was thrice seen. This John Wesley's house. What's a badger doing in the good reverend's house? Something was thrice seen. First time, and you'll never believe I can blow a smoke ring now. I'm pretty good at it normally. Something was thrice seen, first time by my mother, under my sister's bed, like a badger. Wish they'd turn that thing off, but then I'd get hot. I don't want to get hot under the bed. That'd be bad, wouldn't it? Be a badger. Something was thrice seen. The first time by my mother. Under my sister's bed. Like a badger. Doesn't say it was a badger, does it? Says like a badger. Wonder if I can blow a ghost. Something was thrice seen. Something was thrice seen. What is that? Something was thrice seen. The first time. Thrice seen. The first time by my mother. What was she looking under the bed for? Under my sister's bed. Like a badger. You want me to quit? Thrice seen. The first time, that means there's two more. That can count. Can't blow smoke rings, but I can count. Monica, is this scary enough? Twice seen. the first time by my mother under my sister's bed like a badger. Mr. Wesley. He's not the badger. He's just going to talk now. It's his turn to talk. Am I boring you? I know not whether it was in the morning after Sunday the 23rd. My wife looked under the bed and thought something ran from thence. Have you ever ran from thence? I mean, thence can be pretty scary. When I see thence coming, I go like hell. My wife looked under the bed and thought something ran from thence, but could not well tell of what shape, but thought it most like a badger. Now, we don't know for sure it was a badger. All we know for sure is it ran from thence. Now, thence might still be under the bed, but could not well tell of what shape, but thought it most like a badger. Mrs. Wesley, something ran out pretty much like a badger. What I said. Something ran out, Mrs. Wesley said. Pretty much like a badger. And seemed to run directly up Emily's petticoats. John Wesley's house. Let's read that again. Something ran... Something ran out pretty much like a badger and seemed to run directly under Emily's petticoats. Emily. About time for Emily to talk. I want to hear from Emily. Do you want to hear from Emily? I want to hear from you. Emily. The same creature was sat by the dining room fire one evening.
This is the end of side one. For more of the teaching, please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.